Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Govert Schilling. His new book is The Elephant in the Universe, 100-Year Search for Dark Matter, and Govert's search over several years for dark matter. He's still looking. It's a joy to travel along with him in the book. We know neutrinos don't qualify, although that's a cool idea because it took them a long time to find neutrinos. And they had a theory, and they went looking for it, and it paid off. Gravitinos also don't satisfy. And rather than pursue that, I'm going to come to a cosmologist, Jim Peebles. Jim Peebles says, we have something that is cold, that is dark, that is matter. Cold, dark matter. However, it has to satisfy a transformation from the smoothness of the beginning of the Big Bang to the clumps we have today.
Right.
That means dark matter has to satisfy something. Well, calling it weird isn't adequate. It has to satisfy something where it, what does it interact with in that transformation? What do we imagine? Does it have interaction with anything in our standard model?
Well, actually, not much. We know dark matter, or the cold dark matter, as Jim Peebles calls it, must be interacting through gravity, because that's how we discovered it. We see the gravitational effect. It must have mass. It must have gravity. Otherwise, it doesn't fit in what we're observing. But it doesn't have an electrical charge, so it doesn't interact with light. It doesn't interact with magnetism. It doesn't interact with radiation. It doesn't interact with other charged particles. It does not interact with the strong nuclear force that holds atomic nuclei together. So the only thing that we think might be possible is every now and then a particle might bump into an atomic nucleus and transfer some of its energy to it just by bumping into it. But that's the only thing, and that's a very rare encounter.
And that's the weak nuclear force. That's not the strong nuclear force. This is not, as you say several times, this is losing its elegance. We're wandering into territory where things are getting not symmetrical. But we're going to go to CERN now because there's a search for the particle that they call WIMP. Why did they call it WIMP? Why did they do that?
Yeah, it's also a fun story because particle physicists thought about this possible particle that might fulfill their needs, and it would be weakly interacting, almost no interaction with normal matter, weakly interacting, but it must have a certain mass, so it must be massive. And it is a particle, so it's a weakly interacting massive particle, or a WIMP. Well, scientists and especially physicists and astronomers, they love acronyms, so it was just a joke to call it a WIMP. And then the funny thing is, I don't know if we have time to go into all the details, but it was a competing group of theorists, and they thought that the dark matter might actually consist of very massive objects that are compact and that would be available in the halo of our Milky Way. And he called it massive compact halo objects.
Oh,
and
yes.
It were the machos.
Macho, yes. We'll get to so macho.
Then we had the WIMPs and the machos.
The WIMPs and the machos. But at CERN, that's where they found the Higgs boson. That's where they're doing the best work. It's a science fiction place. I've only ever read about it and seen pictures. But you go there, it feels like a human being is dwarfed by the machinery. Is that right, Govert?
It's incredible because there's an underground tunnel with a circumference of 27 kilometers. It's a couple of hundred meters below the ground on the border of Switzerland and France. And then on certain points in this underground tunnel, there are huge detectors. They are as big as a cathedral and as massive as the Eiffel Tower in Paris. And all these detectors are stuffed with electronics and sensitive equipment, and they register the energy of particles that are colliding with each other at incredibly high speeds. And by this way, you can create new particles out of sheer energy. And it's one way to look for these mysterious dark matter particles, this cold dark matter, this weakly interacting massive particle, the WIMP. Because if it exists, it should also be created in these collisions. So at CERN is a big search going on to see what kind of particles are created in these massive collisions that we are creating. And is there any indication of a WIMP in these collisional products? And so far, unfortunately, we haven't found it.
Right. They call it the lightest supersymmetric particle. Part of this search involves the theory of supersymmetry, which itself is a wonder. What I wanted to make certain I understood is we're no longer looking at the big into the heavens. We're looking at particle physics for a search. So this is actually a new trail that's opened up. Is that correct, Govert?
Absolutely. It's one of the, if we are looking at the universe, we can see the effects of dark matter on a big scale. We see this in the rotation of the galaxies, in the motions of the galaxies in the cluster, in the gravitational lensing. We can map the dark matter as this new Vera Rubin Observatory in Chile will do, but we cannot see the properties of the dark matter particles. We can only see its effects on a large scale, but you cannot get to the nature of the particles. And if you want to do that, you have to do experiments here on the ground. You have to go to CERN to see if you can create dark matter particles, or you have to go to an underground laboratory in there are a couple of them around the world, in Japan, in Italy, in the United States, to see if you can see the very rare interactions of dark matter particles with atomic nuclei. So to see the particle in its detail, we need to do experiments here on the ground.
We also can simulate the universe. Now, this goes from particle physics to a computer, because we're not going to be looking at the heavens. We're not going to be looking at the Hadron Collider. We're going to be imagining. And Govert introduces us to a team, Illustristing, TNG. In other words, they have these lengthy acronyms that are difficult to pronounce, but in any event, they're simulating what the universe would look like if the dark matter clumps. Are they successful?
In a sense, yes, but a computer simulation is just a computer simulation. It's not reality. But what these groups are doing is simulating the evolution of the universe right from very soon after the Big Bang, and they see how the universe would evolve and how the smoothness of the Big Bang is evolving into the clumpiness of the current universe. And you can do that in very different ways, because you can play with the characteristics of your universe. You can put in a little bit more dark matter or a little bit less. You can try to see what happens if neutrinos are the dark matter, or if you use cold dark matter. You can change the properties of the dark matter. And eventually, they came upon an evolution that precisely predicts the current evolution of the universe, and it's extremely successful in explaining how the universe looks right now. So then you think, well, apparently this computer simulation must be a representation of how the evolution of the real universe went. But still then it's just a computer simulation, and we don't know the properties of this dark matter, and we still haven't found it. But it's very important, because without these computer simulations, we could not know what kind of particle we are trying to find and what we're actually after.
Does the computer simulation help with this question of how you go from the smoothness to the clumps? Does it give
us that's the most important thing that they're doing. It's actually explaining how the universe evolved in the long run. And there's a lot of information going into that, including the background radiation from the Big Bang and the observations in the remote universe, where we look back billions of years in time, and then the information we have from the current universe. All that is worked into these computer simulations, and you try to find out how did you get from the smooth universe back then to the clumpy universe that we have now. And the only way that can be that they succeed in simulating this evolution is by using this so-called cold dark matter, this WIMP type of particle that is moving slowly, is rather massive, and then everything fits together. So in that sense, they are successful, but still they predict the existence of something that we have not been able to find so far.
The book is The Elephant in the Universe, 100-year search for dark matter. We've not found it. However, it's important to introduce dissent, the heretics, people who say you can't find it, maybe it doesn't exist. So when we come back, the search for something we can't see, can't find, but we like, and those who say we're looking for something that doesn't exist. Govert Schilling, I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.